practical lessons from Jonah. From all indication, it will be a two-part lesson. I guarantee you, there are much to learn from this lesson, the life, the preaching, the trying to escape God's commission of this man, Jonah. Jonah misunderstanding his message. There are much to learn from it. The prophet Jonah, what, Ezekiel, Daniel, Uzziah, Joel, Amos, and somewhere there you find Jonah. Obadiah, Jonah, that's right. So after you pass Jeremiah, you will come to Ezekiel and Daniel. And then, right when you touch those minor prophets, Jonah is very close by there. The prophet Jonah lived during the reign of Jeroboam the second. That is somewhere between 790 BC to 749. And as Brother Gilbert brought to our attention, that sometimes when we preach, we don't make this plain. When dealing with the date and BC, you have AD after Christ's death, and you have BC before Christ's death. With BC, you usually do reduction. When the incident being described happened before Christ, as we journey closer and closer to the cross of Christ, to Christ's coming, it's always reduction. We start, let's say I said David lived 900 years before Christ. That's 900 BC. Then naturally Solomon, who lived after his father David, could not be 900 BC. It would be somewhere probably 800 and 40 or 800 BC. You do reduction. Always remember that when the incident takes place before Christ, that is BC, as we come down closer and closer to Christ, then you do reduction. So Jonah lived and prophesied some 790 years to 749 before Christ. Among the first time you hear about Jonah is the book of 2 Kings, chapter 14, verse 25. Let us hear a little of the passage now from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, from verse 1.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it,
mm-hmm.
for their wickedness is come up before me.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Notice, Jonah got up to run from God. And part of the lesson today will be explaining to those who don't know, that's impossible. But Jonah was sent to Nineveh on a mission of mercy. Yes. Be mindful that Nineveh was at that time the capital of Syria, the Assyrian kingdom. Nineveh was a Gentile nation. The only people God accepted then as his people were the Israelites. Not only was Nineveh a Gentile nation, Nineveh was the Syrian. Had set out to demolish the Israelite. In fact, I need to point this out, that the Assyrian world empire from about 300 years, that is from 900 BC to 607 BC, Assyria was the dominant power in the Middle East from that time. And at this time, when the Almighty God sent Jonah to this Assyrian capital, Nineveh was setting out to invade and demolish the Israelites. Now, you can see why Jonah was not eager to go and warn this Gentile nation. If the Assyrian repented, God would keep them going on their track, their victory track. The book of Jonah is not fiction. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? It's not a book brought about by human imagination. The book of Jonah is not an allegory. It's not a figure of speech having some other meaning. No. The book of Jonah is not a parable either. The book of Jonah is reality. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, regarded the book as an historical fact. And if Jesus Christ so regarded the book of Jonah as an historical fact, then it is. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 39. Quick, let me hear what that says. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 39 to 41.
But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly.
Notice here, Jesus Christ is not treating Jonah as a fiction. Christ is in this treating Jonah as reality. That's right. So let us get into some of the things that we can learn from Jonah and the whole incident of his life. As I've said, most likely it will be a two-part lesson. Lesson one from this, mark, you're mindful that we have read only a few verses. Mind you, I am also mindful that the book of Jonah contains, what, four or five chapters? Four chapters. Okay? So, the first thing we learn from this whole lesson is that it is utterly impossible and futile to escape or run from God's presence and to escape our God-given responsibility. It is futile. May I, as much as every person today can be a possessor of the Bible, which means you can read the Bible and know God and know His will. But in spite of the fact that the Bible is in so many homes and is possessed by so many individuals, so many men and women do not know God. I beg you to utilize every opportunity you get to know a little more about God.
Amen.
It will not be a waste of time for you. No. Jonah was a prophet of God. But watch here. Jonah didn't know God. Wait. I'm not here saying that any man or woman has monopoly on God. All of us, there are things we don't know about God now. There are things I don't know about God now, probably by tomorrow. As I study God's word, etc., I may get to know God more. And probably by next month, if I'm alive, or next year. As time progresses and as we learn and see God's work and study God's work, we learn more about God. But no man ever had a monopoly on God. Now, there are some basic that Jonah should have known that he didn't know. And it is a shame on us when some basic things that we are to know about God, we don't know. When the writer, the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6 wrote, he chastised the Christian for their ignorance. When he said that when for the time you are to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the rudiments of the first principle of the oracles of God, and have become as such that need milk. That means by this time you should be eating steak. But because you're a baby, you don't even grow teeth yet. So here are Christians. That is in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5, the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. Bringing Christians under indictment for their ignorance. Jonah was ignorant. In what way, Brother Mitchell? In the same area that many of us are ignorant. Jonah thought he could hide from God. Thought he could run from God. You know, many people today think that. That's right. You cannot escape or run from God's presence. Or your God-given responsibility. Are we all there? Look at verse 1 through verse 3 again. Quick, brother. We have a lot to cover.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it.
Cry against that great city.
For their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish.
You know what? Instead of running in the direction of Tarshish, he ran the opposite direction. He was running from God. That's what he thought. He was running from the mission that God gave him to go and warn these people. That's impossible. Read on, brother.
And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them.
Isn't the same city Joppa that Cornelius was sent? For Peter, watch here now. What we read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Here you have God's preacher Jonah was sent to Joppa, a Gentile city. Jonah was trying to run. 800 years after, it was the same city that the first Gentile would be converted to Christianity. I may say more about that in the other lesson. From the human perspective, we can understand why escaping was so tempting to Jonah. I said from the human perspective. Why? Syria at that time was in the process of invading and exterminating Israel. At about that time. Watch here. Then, Brother Mitchell, how could God want these people to repent so that he may not move against them? You know what? Probably that's one of the things that troubled Jonah. So I'm not even going to trouble that. You see, when we come to God, we must come to God respecting God's will. Don't come to God pointing out the danger that is here, there, and everywhere. God, something is wrong with what you say. You know, when the Almighty God sent the preacher to convert Saul of Tarsus, are we all there? The preacher, Ananias, the preacher was reminding God, said, God, I'm not sure if you know about this man. And he began to tell God, this is Acts of the Apostle, to tell God all the bad things that this Saul of Tarsus did to the church. My God, God knew all of that. Much more than Ananias. So we don't have to remind God about anything. What is the point? As I've said, Jonah, Syria was in the process of moving against Syria, Israel, the Israelites, to exterminate them. And Jonah was called upon to prolong the life and the conquest of this enemy of Israel. You can see why the man felt running away was the right thing. But it's never the right thing when we run from God. In fact, talking about running from God, many times that's the way we feel. That God is the one we want to run from. Not realizing that God is the one we most need to run to at all times. So even when we feel we need to run away from God, that's what you may feel you want, but your need, even in those moments, your need is to run to God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you run from God, where do you run to? Truly. Hide from God, where are you going to hide? Somebody should have met Jonah and asked him these questions. Look at Psalms 139, verse 7 through verse 12. Psalms 139, verse 10, 7 through verse 12.
Whither
read aloud.
Shall I go from thy spirit?
Start again.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
Hold it, brother. That's a wise man speaking. We're going to read a few more verses. And the very way the question is worded, there is the implication that there is nowhere we can run from God. There's nowhere you can hide from God. Your thoughts, your words, your action, your motive. Read on, brother.
If I ascend into heaven, thou art there.
Uh-huh.
If I make my bed in hell, behold.
You notice what the inspired writers did? Take the two extremes. If you go to heaven where God's supposed to be, God is there. If you go to the other place where God's enemy is,
behold, thou art there.
God is there. Read on.
If I take the wings of the morning,
uh-huh,
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
uh-huh,
even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
You know, it's wonderful to understand that we are never out of God's reach to help us. Mm-hmm. Wherever we go, we are always within the reach and the power and the love and the mercy and the grace of the Almighty God. We need to understand that. Poor Jonah didn't understand some of this. Running from God. Do we read a little more now?
If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me. Even the night shall be light about me.
You know, this is knowledge about God. Keep in mind, this is supposed to be a Psalms of David.
Yeah.
And this was pen written about 900 years before Jesus Christ. 800-900 years before Christ. And this knowledge about who God is and God's omnipresence, God's omnipotent, God's omniscient, the all-wise God, the all-powerful God. David knew about this.
Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
This is wonderful knowledge that we need to be mindful of. So, lesson one, as I've said, it is utterly impossible and it is futile to escape or to run from God's presence and to escape our God-given responsibility. Did you know that even in death, that's right, that death does not excuse you from your responsibility. It takes away the opportunity for you to execute those responsibilities. In death, you are still alive to God. Lesson two from Jonah is the path of self-will and misuse of our freedom usually lead to disaster.
Okay.
Brother Mitchell, please repeat that. Let me repeat it. The path of self-will. And when we misuse or abuse our freedom, it usually lead to disaster. Again, let me hear verse 1 through verse 3, brother.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them.
Yeah, it seems Jonah loved cruise liner. But as we are going to see, the Almighty God going to provide him a submarine. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonah was free to go wherever he wanted. What Jonah did not know is that don't use your freedom to neglect your God-given responsibility. That's right. You see, brothers and sisters, what in life we must always confront ourselves with this reality. Must it be my will or God's will? Always. And whether you or I confront ourselves with those alternatives or not, they will come to judge us. Is it my will or God's will. Misuse or abusing our freedom, even to the extent where we trample on God's will. A lot of times, many people don't realize that the more you expect, the more you are mindful of the right of others as you exercise your freedom, is the more you protect your own freedom. I need to repeat that. The more you are mindful of the right of others in exercising your will, is the more you protect your own freedom. I have known of cases where one neighbor had no consideration in the loudness of the music that they played 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And where the situation where the police was called in, and all of that music that was just boom all over the place had to be come right down, and the police threatened if they pass by and hear any more of that music, all those instruments will be taken away. Those are the things usually happen when we abuse our own freedom of choice. Jonah used his freedom to run away from his God-given responsibility. As we will be seeing, it did not serve Jonah well. Lesson 3. It is futile to resist and fight against God's will. It is futile to resist and fight against God's will. Let us run to Romans chapter 9, verse 19 through 20 and 22. Let us hear.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?
That question, who hath resisted his will? It means nobody can really fight successfully against God's will. The question, as it is worded, who resisted his will, meant that nobody can really successfully fight against the will of God. Read on, brother.
Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God?
If you are going to argue with God, as C.S. Lewis points out, that ability to argue, question God, is given to you by God. Mm-hmm. That's right. If God did not give you that ability, that right, you couldn't even reply to him. Who are you to question God's action? Read, brother.
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it,
mm-hmm,
why hast thou made me thus?
Mm-hmm.
Hath not the potter power over the clay?
Mm-hmm.
For the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and to another unto dishonor.
The inspired writer Paul, writing Romans here, is reasoning with his audience and by extension with us that you do not argue with God. He is God. He can make some of us as vessel of honor and some of us as vessel of dishonor. The Almighty God can choose any one of us in the audience for a particular job and choose a person for a different job. God can do that.
Yeah.
And that's why, watch here, trying to escape our God-given responsibility is always foolish. The wise option is always to yield to the Almighty God. Always to submit to God's will. What verse you start, brother?
That was 21.
Let me hear 22.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering?
Wait. Are we getting the lesson? What if the Almighty God is willing to show his
wrath?
That is the outpouring of his vexation. W-R-A-T-H, the outpouring of his vexation. Is that you, Jenny, I'm looking at? Every time I look and I say, that person look like you, Jenny. You notice how she disturbed my lesson? It's just great to see you in the audience, you, Jenny. Just great to see you. God is great. Yes. What the writer is showing is the fact that the Almighty God has the power and the right to choose any one of us as vessel whom or on which he will demonstrate how rough he can be. That's what the writer is showing. Read on, brother.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath?
That is, if you happen to be the vessel of wrath that God chose, the Apostle Paul is saying, just endure it. Beg God for strength. Because there's nothing you can do.
That's right.
To resist God's power. Yielding is always the wise thing. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6.
And said, O Lord God,
O Lord God
of all fathers, art not thou God in heaven?
Are you not God in heaven?
And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?
Don't you rule over all the kingdom, not only of Israel, but of the heathen?
And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?
In your hands, O God, there is might, there is power. Nobody is able to successfully work against you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God, remember, we are still on the fact that it is futile to resist or to fight against God's will. Why? God has option which never cross our mind. That's right. Look at chapter 1, verse 4, and then verse 12 through 13. Quick. God has options that we never think about. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken.
May I? You think Jonah thought that when he run from God, there might be a terrible wind that will affect the ship? No, sir. That didn't come to Jonah's mind. You see, if Jonah thought of other ways that the Almighty God may put a stop to his running away from God and his responsibility, a rough sea, no, sir, no. Read on, brother.
Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God.
You hear that? That's idol. Cried every man to his God. Of all the people there on the ship, it seems as if every few people had their own God. Idolatry. In their crying and praying to their own God, those prayers were useless. Amen. That's right. What verse is that? 4?
5.
5. Let me hear verse 12 and 13.
And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea.
After the sea got so rough, Jonah had already confessed to the owner of the ship and whatever that he was the cause of the boisterousness of the sea. And he now asked them to throw him overboard. How ignorant can we be? Let me start again, verse 12 and 13.
And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you.
When Jonah asks to be thrown in the sea, he is not believing that God would save him, because the man was suffering from guilt then, fear and guilt. But things reach a point where he felt that God was out to get him, and death is just as good now. Throw me in I see, let me dead. Read on, brother.
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, poor sailors, all these men, they were ignorant of God. You cannot, they were trying to beat God to the shore. You see, the sea is rough. If we can just reach shore, but you can't beat God to the shore. Read, brother.
Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent
now
blood.
Now they pray a sensible prayer. They realize you just cannot go ahead of God in anything. You can never win God. Again, yielding to God's will is always the wise thing. And as I've said, the Almighty God has option that never come to our imagination. Verse 13 is finished.
End of verse 14.
Don't worry with 14 yet. What did I say? 12 and 13. Okay. Lesson 4. One usually runs into a storm when he stubbornly runs contrary to the will and purpose of God. What did you ask that I repeated? Thanks for asking. One usually runs into a storm when that man or woman stubbornly runs contrary to the will and the purpose of God. Let us hear again Romans chapter 9, 19 and Acts 9, 5. Quick, brother, let us.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, thou, who art thou that repliest unto God?
Again, as we have read previously, you don't even have the right to argue with God on anything. Much more when you reject his will, you want to argue with him. Acts of the Apostle 9:5.
And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Are we all there? As I've explained, it's not long ago, a week or two ago, I explained, and most of us know what it means to kick against the prick. It's when the animal in the shaft to prepare land for cultivation, and the animal would kick. But the thing he pulled was made with some sharp edge to discourage him from kicking. Every time he kicked, he was hurting himself. And the question here is, whenever you or I put up fight and resistance against the will of God, we are only hurting ourselves. Paul didn't know that. That's what Jesus Christ said to him. Wait. What the brothers just read in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 9 and verse 5, is about Jesus Christ's greatest witness. But this was before the man became a Christian. As knowledgeable as he was, he didn't understand that you just cannot fight against God. You are only hurting yourself. It is always wise to yield to God. Jonah did not understand that. Are we all there? Jonah ran out of ideas, and things got so bad and hopeless for Jonah that they were trying to outrun the Almighty God. We read in chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Let us hear chapter 1, 14 again.
Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee.
May I? May I? When the Almighty God caused the fish to swallow Jonah, I'm here helping us to understand that God has option, that it matters not how smart we are, some of those options never come to our imagination because we are not that smart to compete with God. When the Almighty God caused the fish to swallow Jonah, and I'm not sure we will get to that this morning. In fact, let us hear a little of that. Chapter 2, verse 1 following. Chapter 2, verse 1 following.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried.
Wait. You know, remember I told you that the book of Jonah is not fiction. It's not some book put together by a smart writer. What you and I are reading here is God's reality. How can a man cry out of a fish belly? Well, how can a God created this vast, beautiful universe? Mm-hmm. I pointed out before the passage was asked for that Jonah ran out of ideas and that things got so bad and hopeless for Jonah. But all this hopelessness was to bring him to his senses. Read, Brother Webb.
And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I.
As I've said, when Jonah took the ship to run away from God's commission, God's will, God's purpose for him, the Almighty God, when they threw Jonah over in the sea, they did not throw Jonah over there thinking that God would provide a fish. They were concerned, their conscience worried them, as we will see in the context that was read. They did not want to do that. But the Almighty God had planned for Jonah. It's like the Almighty God was bent on Jonah delivering his message to Nineveh. There's no way he was going to escape. The Almighty God provided a fish. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, a lot of times we want to tell God what to do. It's never wise to take your will to God and to tell God what your will is and what you want. From time to time I hear people talk about the church that they want. No, you are unwise. Try to find the one that God placed here for you. The fish that God provided for Jonah was to further bring Jonah to his senses. Continue reading, brother.
Out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple.
You know, there was the God still in the man. Because of the dismal place that he was in, a fish belly, he thought within himself, I am cast out of God's sight. But you know what? That knowledge of God still in the man says, I'm still going to call upon God.
Amen.
What verse is that, brother?
That was 4.
Read on.
The waters compass me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me, forever.
The earth with her bars was about me forever. All of this is describing Jonah in the fish belly. God placed him there. Sometimes the Almighty God put us at place to bring us to repentance.
True, true. That's right. Yeah.
Dreadful experience, frightening experience. Mm-hmm. It can be an earthquake. Mm-hmm. It can be other unpleasant experience simply to bring us to repentance. You know what? When the Almighty God finished with Jonah, when the fish take him wherever it's going to take him, Jonah was ready now to go to Nineveh and preach. Read verse 6, brother.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Mm-hmm. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Mm-hmm. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God.
He's giving God thanks. In the next week portion of the lesson, we are going to learn that man's idols, man's false gods, man's money, power, position, friends in high places will all fail when God set out to get any of us. They all fail. Be it our false God, that is whatever we worship. Be it our money, our power. Be it our position, be it our friends in high places. They all fail when the Almighty God set out to get us. Also, next week we are going to learn that asleep or awake, you don't escape the judgment of God. Okay. That is, whether you are asleep or you are awake, we are encouraging you to come and learn some more. Next week, in the next week portion of the lesson, we are going to learn that don't try to prove God wrong. Please, don't ever try to prove God wrong. Today, you and I live in a world, just giving you a little portion of this, where in same-sex relationship, man is trying to prove God wrong. Trying to prove God wrong, Jonah did. Some of these people on the ship did. They learn bitterly, you cannot prove God wrong. We encourage you to come back next week as we look on some other important things we can learn as lesson from Jonah. Today, if you're here, if you have listened to this lesson, among other things, that when you run from God, you usually run into a storm. We are encouraging you today to run to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you need Jesus Christ. We are not here asking If you need Christ, if you are not a child of God, if you have never turned your life over to Christ in faith, repentance, confession of Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin, if you have never done that, you stand in need of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Today you can give Jesus Christ a chance in your life. Whoever you are, whatever your sin, whatever your situation, Jesus Christ can deal with it. In Jonah's prayer in the whale's belly, Jonah still had that glimpse that even at the dismal place that he was not out of God's reach. You are not out of God's reach. Come now, as we stand and sing.